Well, I invite you all to grab your Bibles and stand with me for as I read God's Word. Turn in those Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy 3, and I'll read in a minute just the first seven verses. I come to this day with mixed feelings. I'm rejoicing with the Lord that He's adding our brother Stephen as a godly shepherd to oversee our flock. But I'm going to lose my status. And I have mixed feelings about that. Up until about 45 minutes from now, I have been the youngest elder. And as I get older, that sounds kind of nice. So I'll have to humble myself and take second place. But definitely rejoicing. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. Paul writes to Timothy, "It is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires. An overseer, then, must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine or pugnacious," that is, wanting to fight all the time, "but gentle, uncontentious, free from the love of money. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? And not a new convert, lest he become conceited and fall into the condemnation incurred by the devil. And he must have a good reputation with those outside the church, so that he may not fall into reproach and the snare of the devil."
Well, today is certainly a important day in the life of Grace Bible Church and in our 25-year history, as we are about to install another elder in the pastoral leadership of our church. And certainly as a church that teaches and believes that the Bible is God's infallible, all-sufficient and authoritative word, we must certainly establish our church practices and doctrines based upon the teachings of Holy Scripture. And as the apostolic era came to a close in the history of the early church, the office of elder became the God-ordained position of local church leadership. And by definition, an elder is one of a plurality, meaning multiple, of biblically qualified men who jointly shepherd and oversee a local body of believers under the lordship and headship of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the New Testament writers, inspired by the Holy Spirit, set forth the local church to be governed by a plurality of elders. And the New Testament records the existence of elders in numerous churches, and it also gives instruction about elders, the selection of elders, and also instructions to the elders on what their roles and responsibilities and their character and attitude in shepherding the Lord's people must be. In a local church's form of government, it really makes a profound statement to the community, to other churches, to unbelievers about the nature of that church's understanding of and their approach to gospel ministry. And the elders of Grace Bible Church, we are convinced that the elder structure as laid out in Scripture of pastoral leadership best harmonizes with and promotes the true nature of the local church as revealed to us in God's Word in the New Testament. The character and Christ glorifying the effectiveness of any church is directly related to the quality and maturity of its leadership. And that's why Scripture stresses the importance of biblically qualified church elders. And the scriptures provide specific standards and qualifications for evaluating those who desire to serve as an elder. And the qualifications for elders are found in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 through 7, which our brother John just read, and also in Titus chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. The Lord did not leave us alone when it came to the procedures and the way we are to go about seeking and appointing men to lead the Lord's people. And the word translated elder in the English is used nearly 20 times in the book of Acts and in the New Testament epistles in reference to this plurality of leaders who have the responsibility of overseeing or shepherding the Lord's people in the local church. And according to Acts chapter 20, also in 1 Peter chapter 5, elders are to shepherd the church of God. And that means to shepherd a local church means, among other things, it means to lead, it means to protect, it means to care for, and it means to feed the flock of God. To the church in Ephesus, Paul writes, "Let the elders," and that's in the plural, they're in the Greek, "who rule," that is it, those who lead, direct, or manage, "to those who rule well be considered worthy of double honor," and that's in 1 Timothy chapter 5. And the primary responsibilities of the elders are to serve as the caretakers of the local church, 1 Timothy 3:5. That involves a number of specific duties that your elders are responsible and required to do faithfully under the headship of Christ. And as overseers of this flock, your elders are to determine church policy according to Acts 15. They are to oversee the church, Acts 20. They are to ordain others, 1 Timothy chapter 4. They are to lead, they are to teach, and they are to preach faithfully the word of God. And they are also to exhort and refute. They are to act as shepherds, and they are to set an example for all. And as numerous passages in the New Testament indicate that the word, again, elder, you also have the word that's translated overseer and the word pastor, all three different Greek words in the original writings. But all those different terms refer to the same office or position. And I want you to understand this. There's much confusion among churches today. Overseers, bishops, and pastors are not distinct from elders. The terms are simply different ways of identifying the same people. And it has more to do with their function in the local body than it does with a title. Because the qualifications for overseer in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and for those of an elder, a different Greek word in Titus chapter 1, they're unmistakably parallel if you go and read those side by side. In fact, in Titus chapter 1, Paul uses both terms to refer to the same man. An elder in verse 5, and it's also translated as an overseer, two different Greek words in verse 7. And all three terms are used interchangeably in Acts 20. They're in verse 17, Paul assembles all the elders, and again, it's plural, of the church of Ephesus, and he gives them this farewell message there. And in verse 28 of that same chapter, he says, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers," a different Greek word there, "to shepherd," what they are to do in their function, a different Greek word, "the church of God." In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, it brings all three of those terms together as well. And Peter writes, "Therefore, I exhort the elders," plural, one Greek word, "among you as your fellow elder and witnesses of the suffering of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed." Then he commands them to shepherd, another Greek word, "the flock of God among you, exercising oversight," or over as overseers, another Greek word, "not under compulsion, but voluntarily according to the will of God." And these different terms, again, indicate various features and functions of the same gospel ministry. They are not varying levels of authority, titles, separate offices, or position in the church. We know that when the Apostle Paul left Titus in Crete, he instructed him to appoint elders plural in every city, Titus chapter 1, verse 5. James instructs his readers to call for the elders, plural, of the church to pray for those who are sick, James chapter 5, verse 14. And when Paul and Barnabas were in Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, they appointed elders for them in every church, according to Acts chapter 14. The book of Acts indicates there were elders, plural, at the church in Jerusalem. And I hope you understand the point that I'm trying to make and drive home again and again. References made to what? A plurality of elders in each of the various churches. In fact, every place, if you do a study of it in the New Testament where the term elder is used, it's in the plural, except where the Apostle John uses it of himself in 2 and 3 John, and also where Peter uses it of himself in 1 Peter chapter 5. In the opening greeting of his epistle to the Philippians, Paul refers to the overseers, again plural in the Greek, and deacons at the church of Philippi. That's Philippians chapter 1, verse 2. And then in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, Paul warned the elders of the church of Ephesus. And he tells them, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which God has made you overseers. Again, plural of the Greek there, Acts chapter 20 and 28. And the writer of Hebrews called his readers to obey and submit to the leaders, plural, who kept watch over their souls, Hebrews chapter 13. Paul exhorted his Thessalonian readers to appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction. And that was clearly a reference to the overseers there in the Thessalonian assembly. So I hope I'm making my point biblically and making a good argument for you to understand that the consistent pattern of church leadership throughout the New Testament in the early church is that each local body of believers is shepherded by a plurality of God-ordained and biblically qualified men referred to as elders. And it's our conviction here at Grace Bible Church that God has provided and instructed us so that we would have protection of this local body through the oversight of a plurality of biblically qualified men to serve as your elders. And we believe that the checks and the balances that that provides through a plurality of elders produces within each of us, and as Stephen pointed out, we're a work in progress also, working on these things that God works among our body. But to produce that desired attitude so that we manifest that which was expressed by Peter, where he said in their instructions through the Spirit, shepherd the flock of God among you. And he says, you do not do this under compulsion, but voluntarily. That is willingly, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And that is the charge that Peter gave. And the leaders of GBC, we also believe that biblical eldership guards and promotes the preeminent in the position of Jesus Christ as head over his church. He is the one that suffered and died. He is the one whose blood has been shed for the forgiveness of your sin. He is the one who has called you. And according to the scripture, there is only one flock and one pastor. There's only one body and one head, and there's only one priesthood and one great high priest. There's one building and one cornerstone, one mediator and one Lord, according to the scripture. Jesus Christ is, in modern terms, if you will, the lead and senior pastor of Grace Bible Church. And all others, as Peter refers to, 1 Peter chapter 5, we are merely under shepherds, under the headship of Christ, and we all together are co-laborers in the gospel, co-workers. Well, there's two other significant reasons for, and we believe that are benefits of pastoral leadership by a plurality, a multitude, if you will, of biblically qualified elders. And first, that shared leadership structure of eldership provides necessary accountability. And it provides protection from the particular sins that can often plague a church and men in those positions. In turn, this protects the character and the reputation of the local church and its witness and testimony of our Lord's name, that we would not dishonor that. And secondly, the eldership structure provides peer relationships, if you will, to help each elder balance their weaknesses and correct and refine their own character. And this is an essential component in the sanctification process of individual church leaders. That is God's design and purpose. And there is no single man that's equipped in and of himself to shepherd the Lord's people. It's, if you read through that list and you think to yourself, these things are beyond the ability of any man. But by God's grace, he takes weak vessels and he makes them strong so that his character is manifested and displayed in men. And a plurality of elders and their combined counsel and wisdom, that helps to assure that decisions are not self-willed or self-serving to a single individual man. If there's division among the elders in making decisions for the church, all the elders should study, pray, and seek the will of God until unity is achieved. And this is our practice. And this has happened several times in the past as your elders get together and we face decisions for the church under the headship of Christ. What is God's will? What will glorify Christ? What is best for the good of his people? And there are times we've had disagreement, but we have committed that we believe that by seeking God, seeking his will and going to his word, that he will bring us to unity. And he's been faithful up to this point. But we've never had a lack of unity in all these years when it came to anything that required immediate attention or decision making. The Lord's been good to us, and it's his church. The harmony that the Lord desires for his church will begin with the elders, those whom he has appointed to shepherd and care for his flock. He will work through us. You know, there's an inherent danger when a single man sits atop any kind of pyramidal structure of church leadership or church organization or church government. The important balancing of each man's weaknesses and strength will not occur under those conditions. And because of the fallen nature of man, his depravity, the particular sin of pride, men placed in those positions does a disservice to them and to the church. Again, as I said, there are no perfect elders. They are all sinners redeemed by the grace of God through the perfections and works of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's always the potential problem of esteeming a single man too highly, and it starts often very innocently. This one man is elevated to a position of authority and control above what should be given any man. And allegiance to this one leader can eventually become a status symbol, can become an idol, in which his followers take great pride. And this is exactly what happened in the city of Corinth. We are not immune from that today. The carnality of those Corinthian Christians was not the result of their lack of religious activity, but it was the shallowness of their knowledge and practice of the Word of God. And it was in their distorted view and dependence upon one person whom they proudly claimed to follow, if you recall. You know, because as people, we tend to exalt human leaders. We have a tendency to put people on a pedestal. In a sense, we can become pastor worshipers. And this is what's given rise to the current culture in our church today of the celebrity pastor. Every elder and every church leader has a responsibility to keep people from becoming overtly dependent upon them. He must strive to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry and to minister to each other. He must instruct them and encourage them constantly to keep their focus, their loyalty, their hope centered on Jesus Christ and not on them. As I said before, one of us could end up in the newspaper tomorrow morning. Or we could leave. We could abandon you. But Jesus Christ said, I'll never leave or forsake you. Place your hope in Christ, who is always faithful. not in man. We strive to be good examples, but remember, look unto the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never disappoint. You know, elders are to meet these specific qualifications that are listed in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1. And what these are, when you study them, they're really marks of spiritual maturity. And they describe patterns of behavior, that is, a manner of life. This is a general characteristic. This is how their lives are defined. You read through, it's a daunting list. Who's qualified to do these things again? But again, it's not saying that elders are without sin or perfect. But when they do sin, they confess it. They repent. They seek God's grace. And they continue and strive to be faithful in what God has called and equipped them to do. The texts say the overseer must be, and then it lists out these requirements. And you know, people, the Lord is not seeking physically attractive leaders with a bunch of advanced degrees who can develop superb church organization structures, come up with numerous activities to keep people occupied and entertained. He's not interested in a man that can create multiple programs or creatively use slick gimmicks and modern technologies to bedazzle people and keep their interest. No, God uses humble men who honor the Lord Jesus Christ above themselves. That's who the Lord is seeking. Those are the ones that the Lord truly used, not to attract just a crowd, but to make genuine disciples and followers of Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus uses men who love him and want to know him in a greater and deeper way and willing to invest their lives in others that they may do the same. It is a man's desire to know and to love Jesus that defines his spiritual character. And that relationship with Jesus will change him, and it also will change the way that he shepherds the Lord's people and cares for them. An elder is a man who is convinced that God has equipped and called him to that particular position of service. Because without that conviction and assurance, he's not going to be able to survive he's not going to be able to stand firm under the hardships and burdens and responsibilities and disappointment and discouragements of gospel ministry. He must have a pastor's heart. He must love the people. Only then will he be able to find the role of an elder and do so as a humble servant. Otherwise, a servant is one for the honor of men and not out of a love for the Lord and for his people. You know, the true motivation for an elder's service is often tested when another person has extraordinary success in the ministry. If a man harbors jealousy, if he harbors resentment, bitterness, then his service is not unto the Lord, but rather it's focused on himself and his own recognition, seeking the praise among people and all the adoration. And you know, an elder should seek the expansion of Christ's kingdom, the growth of his church and the growth of his people, even at the cost of his own glory. He must learn to die to himself. He must decrease so that the Lord will increase. And that is certainly one of the marks of spiritual maturity. And if a man craves to be first amongst the leaders by promoting himself, then he's not going to be first in the kingdom according to the word of God. And the elders must hold each other accountable for a holy walk in pursuit of righteousness and their walk with Christ and in the performance and the service of their ministry to the church that God has given them charge. An elder's responsibility in the body of Christ is first and foremost is to be one of servitude. He is to be a humble servant and leader. Elders dare not view their individual ministry responsibilities as acquisition of power or influence. Christ, he did not intend the eldership to be a position of personal honor, prestige, glory, or self-interest, self-recognition. It is not for men who seek others' recognition, others' attentions, others' praises, or a title indicating a position of respect and authority. And I would encourage you, as we try to think more biblically and use biblical language, and I know some of you, out of respect and honor, thankfulness, refer to us as Pastor so-and-so. Please just call us by our first name or brother. We are co-laborers in the gospel. We do not want to set up any tiered system of one position being higher than the other. We're all sinners redeemed by God's grace with different callings, different equipping, different gifts. It's how we function within the body. And the issue is that we all remain faithful to wherever God put us and called us to do. So please refer to us by first name or just simply as a brother, because we are to be shepherd leaders. We're not above the congregation. We're servants to you. And if you study the world, as John pointed out, we're not CEOs with a board of directors. And if you look at an organizational chart of a company, you would see there that they've got the powerful, the important people with the authority at the top of that pyramid, and everybody else is subservient to that. But it's not that way in God's kingdom. The leaders are leaders because they serve and they shepherd others. And if you notice there in Paul in Philippians, when he addressed them, it's the only verse there in Philippians 1:1, the verse in the New Testament where elders and deacons are referred to together and also with the congregation. But if you study that carefully, it's interesting to note that the congregation is addressed first. The elders and deacons come after them. Again, those elders are shepherd leaders. They're not above the congregation. They are their servants. Our Lord's instruction to his disciples was that their role was to be one of service to others. Jesus, speaking of the Gentiles in Matthew chapter 20, he said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not so among you, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." And again, as I said, Christ is our example. He is our King. He is our Lord. He is the head pastor, if you will, the good shepherd, the faithful one. And the elder's ministry should be primarily one of shepherding others in their spiritual growth and maturity, their sanctification. The elders are to be models of spiritual maturity for a reason. Their goal is to present each believer complete in Christ to the praise of his glory and his grace.